Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Wellness and Fitness, followed by the Women's Hour at 11. Here's what's happening on the Noon Book Hour. Starting Thursday, January 26th, we're reading West of the Pecos by Zane Grey. Templeton Lambeth had desperately wanted a son, an heir to ride by his side through the ranges west of the Pecos River. But to his disappointment, his wife bore a girl. His hopes crushed and in denial, he decides to raise his daughter as if she were a boy. In honor of Lambeth's more successful brother, they named her Terrell. Upon the arrival of the Civil War, Lambeth enlists in Lee's army, leaving behind his wife and tomboy daughter, with hopes to reconcile living in the shadow of his brother. By the time the war ends, Lambeth returns a colonel, and his wife has passed. Tired of his old life as a cotton planter, he packs up with his tomboy daughter, Rill, and heads for the alluring western frontier to start anew. After they arrive in the West, the colonel is brutally murdered. Rill, disguised as a youth of 18 who rode with the toughest, is left to fend for herself in the Wild West, swarming with outlaws. Enter the one they call Pecos Smith, a rugged desperado with a mysterious past and one bad reputation, though he may not be what he seems. West of the Pecos by Zane Grey, starting Thursday, January 26th. The Noon Book Hour, weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 34 with fog. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the low 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 10 a.m.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, this is Debbie Andrews with To Your Health. We have several good articles today, and the first one I found interesting was from Wellbeing's annual magazine, and this is Healing Food, and it's coconut water. Coconut water is a refreshing drink that supports everything from heart health to athletic performance. Coconut is the most extensively grown palm tree in the world. It's an important member of the palm family, originally from Southeast Asia. Coconut trees are a major tropical and subtropical trees with multiple uses. They are a unique source of medicines and highly nutritious foods and are important for the development of industrial products. All parts of the tree are used. Coconut water is the sterile semi-clear fluid, the liquid endosperm, inside the young coconut. The ideal age of harvesting being 6 to 7 months and mature coconuts being harvested at 11 to 12 months. It has a similar electrolyte balance to a human plasma. The maturity of the coconut determines the nutrient levels, with higher sucrose content and lower total phenolics in mature coconut water, and with higher fructose and glucose in less mature nuts. Coconut water has low levels of solid matter, mainly natural sugars and minerals. Coconut water is very different to coconut milk, which is a grated inner flesh of the coconut mixed with hot water and strained. Active ingredients. Coconut water contains a broad range of electrolytes, including potassium, magnesium, and calcium. Its dry weight is very low, 5% compared with apple juice at 12 to 15%. It contains small amounts of proteins, including the amino acids arginine, alanine, cysteine, and serine, higher levels than a cow's milk, B vitamins and antioxidants, vitamin C, and phenolic compounds. Coconut water also contains various enzymes, plant hormones, a growth-promoting factors, as well as a powerful glycoside, shikimic acid. It is about 94% water, and a glass full contains about 45 calories. Therapeutic uses. While there is a long history of the traditional use of coconut water for various conditions, there is very little human research. However, animal research today is supporting the traditional uses. Nutrients. With its high level of minerals, coconut water alone contains almost all the nutrients humans require for healthy functioning that otherwise need to be ingested through eating a variety of foods. Antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. Coconut water contains various antioxidants that protect against a range of chronic illnesses caused by oxidative stress, and those also, and these also repair DNA damage. The glycoside shikimic acid has multiple effects, including reducing hydrogen peroxide oxidative damage in liver cells by inhibiting the inflammatory pathways of nuclear factor. Blood sugar management. In recent research, rats with diabetes that were given a coconut water not only maintained better blood sugar levels than the control group, but they also had lower levels of HbA1c, an indicator of improved long-term blood sugar control. Heart health. Drinking coconut water has many benefits in cardiovascular health. It lowers cholesterol and triglycerides. A study on rats comparing coconut water with a common statin drug, lovastatin, demonstrated a comparable lipid-lowering effect. Research has also shown that coconut water has a cardioprotective effect through its production of nitric oxide, encouraging the blood vessels to relax. In a clinical trial, people with hypertension drank coconut water for 4 weeks. After 4 weeks, those who did so had significantly lower systolic and diastolic blood pressure than the control subjects. A cytokinin connectin in coconut water has also shown measurable antithrombotic blood thinning activity. This cytokine has also shown potential activity in reducing certain types of cancer. Kidneys. One of the most important uses of coconut water traditionally has been in the treatment of kidney disease and the reduction of kidney stones. Kidney stones are formed when calcium, oxalate, and other compounds form crystals in the urine that then turn into stones. This affects about 12% of the population. In a rat study, coconut water not only reduced the number of crystals formed in the urine, but also prevented them from sticking in the urinary tract. There was also a small human research study demonstrating that coconut water increased the excretion of potassium, chloride, and citrate in the urine, flushing out the kidneys and reducing stone formation. Athletic performance. Coconut water has been shown to be an excellent drink of restoring hydration and replenishing electrolytes that are lost during exercise. The main electrolytes, potassium, magnesium, calcium, and sodium, play many roles, including maintaining correct fluid balance. A small trial in Brazil compared drinking coconut water with other sports electrolyte replacement drinks and showed that the coconut water was more beneficial than the sports drink, particularly when exercising on a hot day. Rehydration. As coconut water is sterile and has beneficial electrolytes in proportions resembling blood plasma, during World War II, it was used as an intravenous rehydration replacement, and the research shows its effectiveness in short-term emergency situations. Even today, immature coconut water is still used for emergency resuscitation and rehydration in more remote parts of the world, including some Pacific islands. Coconut water is refreshing and a nutritious drink that can be enjoyed regularly, knowing it is also benefiting your health. Just make sure it's organic and does not contain any added sugar or flavorings. And our next article is titled Mindfully Successful. I think this is a hot topic for everyone. Have you ever considered that simply being more present and aware could prime your brain and nervous system for peak performance and quality of life? Here's why mindfulness is the ultimate tool to help you cultivate success and how to use it to elevate both your professional and personal experiences. Practicing mindfulness primes your brain to have a different level of connectivity to the present moment, in turn instigating a wide spectrum of positive ripple effects. From increased clarity and focus, reduced stress, and improved memory to greater empathy and communication skills, becoming more mindful is directly linked to success across multiple facets of life. When it comes to your work, your personal endeavors, and your relationships, the quality of your output and experience is correlated to your psychology. That's where mindfulness comes in to turn the key to unlocking your full potential. Success in its many forms. What does it actually mean to be successful? Success is an overarching concept of your life, means taking into account everything from your business and professional gains to living a life in alignment with your purpose and the sense of satisfaction and joy you feel at the end of the day. Being successful is not a financial figure. Your own personal definition of success will be unique to you, yet common elements generally exist which all equate to achieving a level of greatness in what you are creating in life and happiness on the journey, from entrepreneurship and finances to relationships and sense of self-worth. What is mindfulness? The term mindfulness has become a buzzword of the contemporary wellness world, stemming from ancient traditions. It is used to refer to psychological state of awareness and connection with the present moment, as well as the practices that are used to promote this. It can loosely be defined as having a moment-to-moment awareness of your thoughts, sensations, and overall experience that you can exist in without judgment. In this way, mindfulness is about both tuning in and tuning out. A mindfulness practice can take many forms, from breath work and meditation to simple mindfulness exercises such as walking barefoot on the ground and noticing the sensations beneath your feet. What all forms of mindfulness have in common is that they ask you to tune in and connect to what is actually going on now and to fully experience this, whether comfortable or uncomfortable. To do so, you must train your brain to tune out of letting your mind run away with thoughts about past or future. After all, we truly only have this moment to live in. If we do this consistently, little by little, your thoughts possess less power, explains mindfulness expert Tom Bull, who is a meditation and breathwork facilitator. When it comes to success as life satisfaction, you can clearly see link between the two. Part of feeling content is coming to terms with everything that has brought you to the present moment. So the repetitive nature of sitting with thoughts and dismantling the energy behind them to instead be present allows you to accept where you are in your life, increasing a sense of both focus and fulfillment that can drive overall life success, says Bull. The power of less stress. One of the biggest gifts of mindfulness is its ability to mitigate your worries and stresses and even reduce anxiety. It does so by helping shift your body's nervous system out of sympathetic state, which involves the flight or fight response, into a parasympathetic state, rest and digest. Essentially, this allows mindfulness to prime your whole autonomic nervous system center to operate in an optimal way of for success. Think about it. When you're stressed, are you able to be your best version of yourself? Rushing through thoughts cloud your mind, you become shorter tempered, make poor decisions, and so on. The incoherence between living life fulfilled and a jittering nervous system renders you less resourceful, less compassionate, and less effective in whatever you're aiming to focus on, whether it be personal or professional goals. Imagine all the mental energy and brain bandwidth you could free up by redirecting your attention from worrying or destructive thoughts. Taking the example of high-achieving entrepreneurs, it is no wonder then that many partly attribute their success to involving mindfulness as a strong anchor in their lives. These people have often pushed themselves to the limit. A combination of risk, insane work hours, and elements such as financial pressure from investors can cause very high levels of stress, leading to all sorts of mental and physical health issues, explains Bull, who is also a successful entrepreneur himself, in addition to his breathwork and meditation qualifications. Simple meditation, mindfulness, and breathwork techniques have been proven to slow the heart rate, lower blood pressure, and lower cortisol levels, helping to reduce stress and anxiety at a psychological and physiological level. So it makes sense why many see their entrepreneurial success as tied to their mindfulness work. Whether you are high-achieving professional or not, the principle applies to everyone. As Bull summarizes, it really comes down to nurturing your most important assets, the mind and body. Ways that mindfulness primes you for success. When it comes to empirical evidence, there is no doubt that mindfulness is a powerful way to shift the inner terrain of your brain. A review from the National Institute of Health of 27 studies clearly shows meditation being directly correlated to a reduction of stress, reduction in anxiety, and a lengthening attention span, to name a few of the many benefits. Bull, who believes that using mindfulness and meditation techniques have significant impact on recalibrating the brain for success in business ventures and experiencing personal fulfillment, based on his own journey, where the research lies, and the work he does with clients. The self-regulation practices of mindfulness and meditation focus on training your attention and directing awareness with the goal of increasing voluntary control over cognitive processes. This results in improved emotional well-being and enhanced mental capacities like calmness, clarity, and concentration. According to researchers, the cognitive gains from using these tools includes promoting metacognitive awareness, enhancing activities through improved working memory, and increasing counter-constructive brain processes such as rumination. This in turn contributes to effective emotion regulation mind approaches. Here are some of the fundamental areas that mindfulness modifies in the brain that can enhance your work performance and life potential. Productivity. Mindfulness can productivity may sound anti-ethical when you consider that mindfulness is based on slowing down. However, mindfulness trains the brain to be present, and this in turn can mitigate procrastination and deepen attention, promoting greater productivity in work and life tasks. Mental clarity. By keeping your mind fully attentive so that you can stay relaxed and focused, mindfulness brings a greater sense of mental clarity. This can help you enter a flow state that helps you both reach peak performance at work and revel in the pleasure of life's moments. Decision making. Becoming more self-aware promotes decision-making skills, helping you to see biases objectively and providing mental agility in situations that arise outside your usual comfort zone. Reduce stress. Numerous studies have demonstrated that mindfulness and meditation reduce stress and deliver profound positive effects on emotional well-being. In the brain, mindfulness decreases rumination, helping to prevent obsessive negative thought processes and freeing up valuable brain space for aspects of life that bring you value. Increased work memory. The research further shows that mindfulness and meditation practices are correlated to boost in working memory, thereby enhancing planning, comprehension, reasoning, and problem-solving skills. Enhanced empathy and compassion. Mindfulness allows you to deepen your emotional sphere by recognizing subtler emotional states, allowing you to experience greater empathy for others and compassion for yourself. This also strongly supports effective communication abilities as part of quality relationships, as well as positive self-evaluation and a sense of worth. Feelings of happiness. At its core, being mindful calls you to focus your attention on experiencing the beauty and pleasure that is in each moment that can instill real feelings of gratitude and happiness within you. From the sensation of taking a bite of your favorite food to the wonder of observing the colors in a sunset, mindfulness has been shown to enhance self-insight through its impact on the brain's middle prefrontal lobe area, which may help people feel a greater sense of happiness through self-discovery. Applying mindfulness to reach your peak potential. Start where you can. There is a general misconception that mindfulness and meditation are things you need to do for a long time before you reap any significant benefits. However, this couldn't be further from the truth. For example, doing a single mindful breathing exercise, such as focusing on diaphragmatic breathing, has an almost instant ability to down-regulate the nervous system and increase calmness. A research study examined whether brief meditation training affects cognition and mood when compared to an active control group. Participants were assessed with measures of mood, verbal fluency, visual coding, and working memory. They found that with only 4 sessions of a meditation training, fatigue and anxiety were reduced, and overall mindfulness was increased. Data from the study also concluded that brief mindfulness training significantly improved visual spatial processing, working memory, and executive functioning. These findings show that even a brief, consistent bout of meditation training can quickly bring about benefits previously associated with longer-term meditation practices. Of course, to unlock your brain's peak potential, consistency is still key. The aim is to establish a regular routine so that it becomes part of your lifestyle, yet don't be put off by thinking it will be months before your mind is less stressed and your brain is working at greater capacity. Start today and you may begin reaping the rewards in very little time at all. refocusing the present moment. There's no doubt that mindfulness is a tool that is linked to success both in a business and personally from providing cognitive capacities that underlie success in a professional career and entrepreneurial environment to the success of feeling life's satisfaction and contentment with your personal relationships and your relationship to yourself. The gift of mindfulness and meditation is calling you back to this moment. Being more present allows you to slow down and be centered, whatever you apply this to. Where your focus goes shapes the way you experience life. That's what this is really about. Learning how to direct your attention in the right direction for the quality of life you desire for yourself and those around you. Doing so primes your brain and nervous system for greater clarity, concentration, calmness, interpersonal communication, and connection to the self and world around you. Combined together, you have a very powerful tool to enhance success across all areas of your life. A final thought to leave you with in the words of Arthur Ashe, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. When you slow down and become present, you will discover you already have a powerful mind map to unlock your brain's peak potential awaiting within you. Our next article is From Hustle to Holism. In the wake of the pandemic and various global seismic shifts over the last 3 years, there has been a big rethink of resetting priorities. This doesn't necessarily mean changing your job or relationship, but it does mean reevaluating how you deal with various aspects of your life. If you are having your own life audit, here is a guide to doing it with honesty and purpose. There is currently much discussion about the significant number of people redefining their priorities in work and life and modifying the balance between the two. The last few decades have been dominated by hustle culture, with many people finding themselves working longer and longer hours, hustling for a larger paycheck or a fancier life. It sometimes takes a significant negative event, such as a natural disaster or a medical diagnosis, to shake us out of autopilot. Seeing the fragility of life and the suffering of so many has us asking ourselves, what is most important? Are we living a life that is meaningful? Are we making the most of the time we have? Are we focused on the things that really matter and spending time with the people who really care? The pandemic has certainly been a contributing factor in this shift for many people. However, for some, it's also a natural stage of emotional development. Middle life is often a period of reflection and change where many undertake an internal audit, reevaluate priorities, and emerge with a slightly different outlook. Perhaps the long periods of isolation in the past 2 years, providing subsequent time and space for introspection, has led to this trend becoming more widespread. Reevaluating your work, lifestyle, and priorities to ensure you are on the path to greater fulfillment is worthwhile at any stage of life. Actively undertaking this process may help to reduce the feeling that the world has some crashing down around you, a sentiment that many of us have identified with at one time or another since the beginning of 2020. A rethink doesn't always have to lead to resigning from your job or changing careers. It can involve improving emotional regulation, strengthening personal interactions, working smarter, not harder, and investing more time in your well-being. If you currently find yourself on the threshold of an existential crisis, sitting at a crossroad of a big life decision, or would just like to spend some time ensuring you are on a life path that brings contentment, here are some things to consider. A focus on wellness over wealth. Numerous studies have shown that greater wealth does not equal greater happiness. Research has also demonstrated that individuals with goals that are highly oriented towards wealth and possession report lower personal well-being. In conversation with end-of-life patients, regrets that are most often expressed relate to having worked too hard and having put too much focus on status and material wealth. The pandemic has brought with it a deep appreciation of our vulnerabilities, along with an increased focus on health and the importance of preventive healthcare measures. When we talk about wellness, we are not just referring to physical health. Mental well-being is just as important, with the complexity of challenges faced by those suffering from mental health conditions being further highlighted during the pandemic. Genuine well-being could perhaps be considered the greatest wealth of all. Well-being is not just the absence of disease or illness, but can be defined as the combination of feeling good and functioning well, experiencing positive emotions, developing one's potential, having a sense of purpose, and enjoying positive relationships are contributing factors to healthy functioning. According to Dr. Alan Wallace, author and Western expert on Tibetan Buddhism, an ideal state of well-being results from freeing the mind of its inflictive tendencies and obscurations and realizing one's fullest potential in terms of wisdom, compassion, and creativity. He adds that genuine well-being is a sense of well-being that is derived not from what we can get from the world, but from what we can bring to it. This includes social and environmental well-being that flows from treating other people and the environment with respect and restraint. Psychological well-being encompasses pursuing healthy goals, cultivating mental balance and emotional intelligence, and facing reality. To further expand on the concept of facing reality, it refers to facing and acting as opposed to burying one's head in the sand or conflating reality with our own projections. According to Wallace, spiritual well-being can be gained by exploring the innermost depths of who we are and how we relate to the world around us. It can be facilitated through reflective practices such as mindfulness, meditation, psychological or talking therapies, or prayer. For some people, spiritual well-being is aligned with faith or service to others. Moving the focus away from the size of your bank balance towards your physical and emotional well-being can propel you on a path towards greater contentment and fulfillment. However, at the same time, it's important to recognize the need for financial stability and security. Loss of these things in search for greater meaning can be counterproductive if it becomes detrimental to your well-being. If you can't make the mortgage payment or cover your child's school fees, you will find yourself under a great deal of stress and emotional discomfort. As always, seek balance and moderation as opposed to going to the extreme of forsaking one to attain the other. Further develop your sense of self. If income generation begins to assume a lesser importance in your life, from where do you derive your sense of self and self-worth? Attaching your self-worth to your job title or earning capacity is fraught with danger because of some stage in your life you will reach retirement age. Are you considering all facets of your personality? Or have you just been focused on one dimension, such as productivity and achievement? Have you put through emphasis on such areas as creativity, connection, interpersonal reflection, and self-care? People can feel inhibited or unfulfilled if they don't engage in both personal and social experiences that allow for the expression of all their inherent qualities. Pursue emotionally meaningful goals. When you can articulate your purpose, that clarity drives you and shapes your decision and goals. The best place to start is with your values audit. As people move through life, values tend to shift and priorities, goals, and aspirations are subject to renegotiation. Reflect on your core values and whether your actions, decisions, and behaviors align. As Wallace teaches, authentic values may lead to the discovery of deep truths, and the experiential discovery of such truths may bring greater richnesses to one's value. As part of the current rethink movement, there is a reluctance by many people to tolerate a work situation that feels unsuitable or unsatisfying. People are looking for a sense of meaning in all their activities and interactions, including work. Before making significant life-altering changes, consider how important it is to you to find your purpose in your paid employment. Can you seek to make your role more meaningful by delegating tasks that don't align with your purpose and putting your hand up for projects that do? For some, work is a means for security and stability, and they look for purpose outside paid employment. Other people, including myself, retrain later in life in order to pursue a role that is both financially secure and purpose-driven. I currently split my work hours between a part-time corporate wellness role and my nutrition practice and writing. One position offers greater security, salary, and future opportunities. The other offers flexibility, personal growth, and freedom. In both roles, I am undertaking work that I find meaningful and rewarding. Although the financial returns would be higher if I only pursued the corporate work, I will have less time to dedicate to my family and my well-being. It's emotionally meaningful to me to spend time with my children and be available to watch and facilitate their sporting and social activities. Emotionally meaningful goals also look beyond self-interest. Caring for and contributing to the welfare of other people and the next generation can bring great personal fulfillment. This may also refer to actions that preserve and increase the amount of time spent in the natural environment. Research suggests that time spent in nature, in particular near water, significantly reduces stress, accelerates healing, increases feelings of well-being, and improves cognitive function. Self-fulfillment versus social acceptance. When you move your focus away from external influences and your actions and behaviors are based on what you find emotionally meaningful, keeping up with the Joneses ceases to be a motivating factor. One of the most liberating shifts you can make is realizing that what other people think about you doesn't matter. Once your choices and behaviors are aligned to your values, you become less inclined towards pleasing or placating others or seeking recognition and admiration. You become more comfortable expressing your authentic nature and begin to naturally align with people who are driven by the same intrinsic motivations. Put more into your relationships. Countless studies demonstrate the importance of your social networks and personal connections for positive mental health and well-being. Social connection has been linked to happiness, longevity, and resilience, and has been shown to be protective against stress. As you start to pursue more meaningful goals, they naturally spills over to relationships. Seek out emotionally rewarding relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. These are the relationships in which you feel seen, heard, and understood. It's worth extending this reflection throughout your various social networks. Consider ways to maximize positive emotional experiences and move away from negative social interactions. This can be more challenging in work-related environments. However, cultivating tolerance and understanding for other people's differences and strengthening emotional regulation is always worthwhile. Engaging in a life audit may involve ending a relationship or, at the other end of the spectrum, adjusting the expectations you are placing on a partner or friend. Keep in mind that making such external changes is far easier than changing yourself, so seek to develop your sense of self first. Then you can be assured subsequent decisions are not based on alleviating your personal discomfort, but are the result of deeper understanding of what constitutes a satisfying emotional connection. Become more mindful. When redefining your priorities, it can be helpful to move the focus away from the future and allow for more emphasis on the present moment. There are very few wellness pieces I have written that don't touch on the role of mindfulness. Being mindful keeps the autopilot switch in the off position. It's when you are on autopilot that years can fly by while you are caught up in a trajectory that does not have you on the path towards greater happiness and contentment. By living in the present moment, you are more likely to savor experiences and take pleasure in the little things. Personal contentment often comes from appreciating what you already have. The practice of mindfulness also leads to greater self-awareness, emotional regulation, and mental balance. Future-related goals are important, however, so are goals aimed at emotional connection and regulation. You can effectively train your brain through mindfulness to achieve higher levels of psychological functioning. Mindfulness also has been proven to increase focus and attention and eliminate distraction. By focusing more deeply and completing your work more quickly, you can free up time to spend with the people you love and on personal projects you find meaningful. Choosing the right path. Always come back to your values. Undertake the process regularly and reach out for support. There are some incredibly knowledgeable and insightful therapists and coaches who can support you on this journey. It is also important to remember that you don't have to find your answers immediately. Small tweaks and revisions can still propel you in the right direction, and it can be a process of testing and modifying as you go. The journey may not always be smooth, and the best path may not always be obvious, but we evolve through learning and grow through our discomfort. Our next item is a couple of recipes that I found in the Prevention magazine. The first one, it says, is delicious bites for a healthy heart. And the key to staying well lies in the middle of it all, your heart. It pumps oxygen and nourishment to every cell, organ, and tissue, and when it's not happy, you're not happy. Good sleep, stress relief, and exercise will help toward that healthy body goal. But what you eat also plays an essential role. Eating for your heart means consuming a variety of plant-based foods such as fruits and veggies, legumes, nuts, and seeds, and whole grains, reaching for healthy fat like extra virgin oil and avocado oil, and minimizing processed foods, adding sugar, excess sodium, and alcohol, says Joy Bauer, MS, RDN, a health expert at the author of Joy Bauer Superfood, 150 Recipes for Eternal Youth. Pile these heart-friendly picks on your plate. So this is a brown rice edamame. It takes 10 minutes to make it. Total 1 hour plus resting, serves 4 to 6. And you cook 1 cup of short grain brown rice per package, directions. Remove from heat. Scatter 2 cups shelled frozen edamame thawed on top. Cover and let stand 10 minutes. Transfer to a large bowl and fold in 2 tablespoons of furikake. It says find it online or in the spice aisle, and that's furikake, and 1 teaspoon of grated lemon zest. The nutritional values are per serving: 184 calories, 8 grams of protein, 34 grams of carbs, 7 grams fiber, 2 grams of sugar, 0 grams added sugars, 3.5 grams of fat, 0 grams saturated fat, 0 milligrams of cholesterol, and 63 milligrams of sodium. And it has a little box here on edamame. These green soybeans are an excellent source of plant-based protein, a major component of a heart-healthy diet. They have anti-inflammatory omega-3s, taming inflammation, helps prevent plaque buildup in arteries, as well as blood clots, which both can harm the heart. And let's see, they have another recipe here. It's, let's see, ginger garlic cod in, sorry, I had to make it bigger, papillote. So, has a little box here on cod. Salmon isn't the only source of omega-3s in the sea. Cod can also provide some of the healthy fats. They help reduce level of triglycerides, harmful fats in the blood, which in turn helps slow hardening of the arteries, a risk of heart attack, stroke, and heart disease, says Bauer. This ginger garlic cod, it says active 15 minutes to prepare, total 30 minutes plus cooling, serves 4. The recipe is heat oven to 400 degrees, tear off 4 12-inch squares of parchment paper and arrange on 2 rimmed baking sheets. Divide 2 heads baby bok choy, roughly chopped, and 4 5-ounce boneless, skinless cod fillets among the squares. In a small bowl, stir together 4 teaspoons each mirin, M-I-R-I-N, and reduced sodium soy sauce, 2 scallions, and 2 cloves garlic, all thinly sliced, and 2 teaspoons of grated fresh ginger. Spoon over fish and sprinkle with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper, dividing among fish fillets. Cover each with additional parchment square and fold each side up twice, then fold each corner underneath. Roast 12 minutes. Let cool at least 3 minutes before cutting open. Sprinkle with additional scallions if desired. And the nutritional values here are per serving, 139 calories, 27 grams of protein, 5 grams carb, 1 gram fiber, 2.5 grams sugar, 0 grams added sugars, 1 gram of fat, 0 grams saturated fat, 61 milligrams of cholesterol, and 427 milligrams of sodium. And the next one is a simple breakfast meal, if you're like me and not a great cook or have a lot of time. This one seems to be something even I could do and is simple. It says it's a baby kale and mushroom toast. It says get a head start on your five a day with sauteed veggies first thing in the a.m. The fried egg makes it a meal. It says on this one, the triple threat, the vitamin D in eggs, selenium in mushrooms, and antioxidants in kale all support a strong immune system. So the total it takes is 15 minutes, serves two. The ingredients are 1.5 tablespoons of olive oil plus more for drizzling. 10 ounces of mixed mushrooms, quartered if large, kosher salt and pepper. 4 cups of baby kale, 2 thick slices of whole grain bread, toasted, grated Parmesan for serving, and 2 fried eggs. So you heat the oil in a large skillet in batches, add mushrooms, and cook, tossing occasionally until golden brown, about 6 minutes. Season with a pinch each of salt and pepper, transfer to the plate. You add kale to the same skillet, season with a pinch each of salt and pepper, and cook, stirring until beginning to wilt, about 1 minute. Drizzle each toast with oil, then top with greens, Parmesan, mushrooms, and a fried egg. Sprinkle with cracked pepper. Nutritional values are per serving 381 calories, 17 grams of protein, 31 grams carbs, 7 grams fiber, 6.5 grams sugars, 3 grams added sugars, 22.5 grams fat, 4.5 grams of saturated fat, and 185 milligrams of cholesterol, 549 milligrams of sodium. So that's a simple little recipe for the morning. And here's an interesting article from Oxygen Magazine. This is 8 Common Diet Myths Debunked. Stop falling for these popular diet fallacies. And this is from Matthew Cady, MSRD, and it's under Weight Loss Tips for Women. When it comes to healthy eating, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it, there's no shortage of diet myths and old wives' tales in widespread circulation. Perhaps you heard that eating celery results in a net loss of calories, or that grapefruit diet is your ticket to keeping fat at bay. While some myths are easy to spot, other diet myths are more difficult to suss out and can lead to serious case of dietary confusion. Worse, they can downright stymie your fat loss efforts and fitness gains if you unsuspectingly fall prey to them. To help you determine what truths to swallow, we've investigated and debunked some common diet myths that don't stand up to closer inspection. Whole wheat bread is not the ultimate enemy, and late night eating is not a surefire ticket to weight gain. Diet myth number one, to shed fat, eat low fat. The truth. Ironically, with the widening consumption of low-fat this and low-fat that, America is statistically growing in heart disease and obesity rates. That may be because lackluster ingredients like sugar and refined carbohydrates often replace the fat in low-fat or fat-free items like peanut butter to make the product taste better. The upshot is that reduced fats foods like salad dressings and ice cream may have calories nearly on par with the higher-fat versions. What's more, a Journal of Marketing Research study found that people ate 28% more chocolate candies when they were portrayed as low-fat than when they were described as regular. The researchers surmise that low-fat labels cause people to underestimate calorie consumption, increase what we think is an appropriate serving size, and temper feelings of guilt after eating to excess. Plus, the empty calories from an added sugars and processed carbs can cause you to become hungry again much quicker. Your move. Lower fat or not products like crackers. Oops, sorry. Let me back up here. Lower fat or not products like crackers, cookies, and fruit yogurt require you to exercise dietary restraint. Remember that fat is not the enemy and even can be beneficial, as in foods like peanut butter, olive oil, and nuts and seeds. Furthermore, fat can make items more filling, which will function and prevent overeating. So go ahead and pick up that tub of 2% Greek yogurt instead of the sugar-laden, fat-free fruit version. Diet myth number two, artificial sweeteners are the answer to your weight loss goals. The truth. While zero-calorie sodas and other artificially sweetened items may seem like a get-out-of-jail card, they may not all be that they're cracked up to be. Studies suggest that consuming too many artificially sweetened items may result in a paradoxical increase in sugar intake and body weight. Case in point, a study of researchers at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio determined that of the more than 3,600 subjects studied over an 8-week period, there was a 41% increase in a risk of being overweight for every can or bottle of diet soft drink a person consumed each day. In contrast, those who drank a can of regular sweetened soda every day experienced a 30% spike in chances of being too pudgy. The theory is that calorie-free sweeteners like aspartame and sucralose may whet your appetite for sweets, causing you to overindulge in diet-derailing, sugar-laden foods than when given the chance later on. And faux sweeteners may not teach your taste buds to enjoy a diet that is not less sweet. Your move. Whether your sweet-tasting drinks of choice contain corn syrup or a laboratory-derived artificial sweetener, it's best to steer clear, or if you find it isn't helping your weight loss journey. A better bet is to imbibe beverages like green tea, unsweetened coffee, and protein-packed low-fat milk. The one exception is during prolonged endurance workouts when you can benefit from the added fast-digesting carbohydrates of a sports drink. Diet myth number 3, wheat is evil. Your move. Ditching gluten-containing grains like wheat and rye can certainly help those with celiac disease or gluten sensitivity. But if you don't fall into one of those categories, there is no pressing need to send gluten packing. In fact, there is evidence that keeping grains in your diet can be beneficial. Studies show that whole grain eaters have an easier time keeping their midriff slim. So just make sure to shop for whole wheat breads, pastas, and cereals. And whether you're living wheat-free or not, don't overlook nutrient-packed gluten-free whole grains like quinoa, millet, and teff, which are great ways to load up on the carbohydrates necessary to power through workouts. Diet myth number 4, shutter the kitchen after 8 p.m. The truth. The urging to avoid late-night eating is based on the notion that one's metabolism becomes listless late in the day, a time when what you eat is thought to be more likely to pack on the fat. But the reality is there is no magic time to stop eating, and while you may have a slightly higher metabolism earlier in the day to burn off what you eat, the impact on fat loss is likely small. Your overall food choices during a 24-hour period are much more important than the dieting because calories can't tell time. Yes, late-night eating is going to add the same calories to your diet that it would have if you've eaten too much earlier in the day. Besides a recent investigation in the Journal of Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, trumpets the benefits of a pre-bed protein nosh. Subjects taking part in strength training who consumed about 40 grams of protein a half hour before bed experienced significantly better muscle protein synthesis than those who ate a placebo. Your move. While nobody craves kale when plopped in front of the tube, it's vital to make wise food choices when snacking late. Read, not mindlessly plowing through a bag of chips or a tub of chocolate ice cream. To encourage building lean mass and quelling appetite, focus on high-protein items like Greek yogurt, a protein bar, cottage cheese, beef jerky, or even a hard-boiled egg. Diet myth number 5, practice moderation. The truth. Food manufacturers who devote themselves to selling heavily processed foods love to talk about the importance of eating everything in moderation. So as long as you eat those muffins and cheesecake in moderation, you won't suffer any waistline repercussions, they claim. Yet too much so-called moderation can easily add up to a day of junk food-laden eating that can make the difference between reaching your goals and falling short. Why? Because more often than not, the foods associated with the advice to eat in moderation are nutritional duds. Think about it. When was the last time someone had to counsel you not to eat spinach in moderation? Your move. When trying to lean down, practice real moderation by allowing yourself no more than one cheat item of a reasonable portion per day. Any more than this and your moderation can quickly look like excess. Diet myth number 6. A calorie is a calorie. The truth. On paper, it's simple math. A single gram of carbohydrate or protein contains 4 calories, whereas a gram of fat delivers 9. But calories are not always what they appear to be. For starters, there's plenty of evidence that eating the same number of calories from processed foods encourages greater fat gain than eating from whole foods like lean protein, fruits, and whole grains. Proof that bundling calories with nutrients plays a role in weight loss comes from a University of Florida study that reported that subjects who took in more antioxidants had a better buck-to-blubber ratio than those who had lower intakes, even though calorie consumption in both groups was the same. Further, the thermic effect of food, meaning the energy your body expends to chew, digest, absorb, transport, and store the food you eat, is significantly higher for protein than it is for carbohydrates or fat. So even though carbs and protein have the same calories per gram, the human body stores less of them for the latter. This is likely a major reason why high-protein diets have been shown to help torch body fat. Your move. Total calories do matter when trying to chisel out a glance-worthy physique, but the quality of those calories is just as important. Focus on obtaining about 90% of your daily calories from whole nutrient-dense foods, and make sure a sizable chunk of them comes from protein options like fish, unsweetened dairy products, and eggs to keep your calorie burning and metabolism humming along. Also, we say it all the time, but be sure to have a whey protein shake before and after workouts, and consider adding another one as a snack during the day. A 2011 American Journal on Clinical Nutrition found that whey has a particularly high thermic effect on the body. Diet myth number 7. Many meals are better than 3 hearty ones. The truth. You heard the advice. Nosh on small several meals a day to keep your fat-torching metabolism humming along at a healthy clip. But here's the thing. There's no substantial evidence that eating frequency really matters all that much, according to a review of studies by researchers at the University of Newcastle, Australia. Their conclusion? For fat loss, it's not when or how often you eat that matters as much as what you eat and how much. Your move. Whether you eat several small meals or old-school style 3 larger meals a day, be sure to pay close attention on how much you're consuming. You can eat a couple of times a day or 10 as long as you have the same caloric intake and choose the appropriate whole foods that will jumpstart fat loss and muscle building. Diet myth number 8. The weekend is for splurging. The truth. The 2S days represent 30% of the week. So easing up on your diet too much on the weekend could easily put the wobble in your step come the work week. An investigation in the journal Obesity discovered that subjects involved in a fat loss program lost weight during the week, but that they stopped losing pounds over the weekend because they were eating too much. Why? The researchers found that participants consumed more calories on Saturday than any other day of the week. By feasting on whatever you want come the weekend, you can largely cancel out 5 days worth of healthy eating. This constitutes a one step forward, two steps back approach to dieting. Your move. If you're serious about shedding the fat, don't give your diet the weekend off. It's okay to indulge in a slice of deep dish pizza or chocolate cake on the weekend, but try to maintain your healthy eating from the previous week. If you allow yourself a few small treats throughout the week, you won't feel an overwhelming desire to binge on nutritional dreck once Friday night rolls around. And our next article from Oxygen is 6 Simple Ways to Improve Your Gut Health. What you need to know about the 3 big P's for better gut, immune, and mental health. When it comes to wellness topics, gut health often comes to mind, and it should. We're learning that a healthy gut is an indicator of overall well-being, and research has already shown that it can affect digestive, heart, and brain health. Heck, what goes on in your gut community may even impact our weight and workout performances. A surprising amount of our immune system function can also be tied to gut health, also known as our microbiomes. The human gut microbiota is a complex ecosystem that includes trillions of microorganisms on and in our intestines. And while you probably heard a lot about probiotics when it comes to the microbiome, you might be less familiar with prebiotics and postbiotics, 2 more keys to achieving optimal gut health. Here's what you need to know about the biotics family and how to make them work harder for your best interest. Probiotics. These are living microorganisms found in certain foods and beverages that can take up residence in your digestive tract. It may sound creepy when you think about it that way, but as you've already learned in a yogurt commercial or two, probiotics have various health benefits. They're known for improving nutrient absorption and immune functioning, and one recent study found evidence that a greater microbiome diversity has associated with higher levels of active vitamin D, a nutrient many people are deficient in. In general, probiotics, including Lactobacillus and Bifidobacterium, help maintain a healthy population of microbiota or flora living in the gut, positively affecting digestion and overall well-being. And for the most part, probiotics are found in fermented foods such as yogurt, kefir, and kombucha. It's thought that regularly consuming probiotics helps to replenish the beneficial microorganisms in your gut and help counterbalance any less desirable bacteria residing there. Prebiotics. Don't let the name similarities fool you. Prebiotics and probiotics are two different things that have distinct function within our bodies. They do, however, run in the same circles, so to speak. While probiotics are little living creatures like bacteria and yeast, prebiotics are certain components of foods, including fibers, polyphenols, and surprisingly, omega-3 fat that feed and promote the growth of these healthy or good microorganisms living in our digestive tracts. In other words, prebiotics are the food probiotics require to produce and get to work on tasks such as improving your immune defenses. So probiotics and prebiotics work as a team to keep you healthy. Prebiotics are found in many whole foods you eat, such as fruits, asparagus, and legumes. These gassy after effects from eating a bowl of chili result when the bacteria in your gut ferment the non-digestible dietary fiber contained within the beans and vegetables. Interestingly, breast milk contains sugars that act as prebiotics, so we're meant to be exposed to these very early on, and they may play a role in cementing our microbiome for years to come. Postbiotics. These are not living microorganisms, but rather incredible compounds such as protein peptides that are produced when postbiotics feed on prebiotics. Keeping this all straight? For instance, postbiotics can be created when the microcritters in your gut ferment indigestible prebiotic fibers such as inulin. In essence, they're the third and final piece of the biotics puzzle working through the gut to support your health. An example of postbiotic is a short-chain fatty acid butyrate, an energy source for the cells in your colon, and what appears to be an anti-inflammatory compound. When you consider the inflammation is the hallmark of several chronic diseases, including cancer and heart disease, as well as digestive conditions like Crohn's disease, you see why creating more of this and other short-chain fatty acid postbiotics through better nurturing our microbiome is important. Though postbiotics are a boon to your overall health, it's still not well understood exactly how they work. But what's now clear is that our diet has a profound impact on microbial composition in the gut, in turn affecting a range of metabolic, hormonal, and neurological processes. Take, for instance, a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, where scientists determined that people whose diet scored better on healthy eating index, meaning more vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and less added sugars, alcohol, and solid fats, had a more potentially beneficial bacteria and lower amounts of potentially harmful bacteria in their gut microbiome. And it looks like that's all the time we have for this show. Thanks for joining me, and we'll talk to you next week.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, cooking magazines on In the Kitchen, followed by the Noon Book Hour at 12. Here's what's happening on the History Book Hour. Starting Wednesday, January 25th, we're reading Spare by Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex. This month, this controversial biography has sold a record number of books and audiobooks. The Guinness World Records confirm it's the fastest-selling nonfiction book ever in its first day of publication. We also know it's the biggest-selling memoir ever in its first week of publication. At the age of 12, Harry lost his mother, Princess Diana. He struggled through school. then shone brightly in the British Army during his two combat tours. He found his true love, Meghan, an American. In the British press, Harry and Meghan's fairy tale wedding was washed away with waves of abuse, racism, and lies. Harry also alleges some of the same treatment from his royal family members, and he and Meghan eventually stepped back from royal duties and moved to the United States. Prince Harry narrates this story that's filled with unflinching, raw honesty. Some claim Harry is a complainer and a crybaby. You can judge for yourself as we begin the biography, Spare, beginning Wednesday, January 25th. The History Book Hour, every night at 9 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
The Midland Lighthouse for the Blind is currently hiring a production worker. Job summary: responsible for a variety of hand assembly production of writing instruments, safety and security items as directed by manufacturing manager or working foreman.